Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, verses 3 through 14. It is found on page 1066 of your pew Bibles. Or I should say, of your chair Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. It's the word of the Lord. The book of Ephesians is really a very powerful little book. It's only 6 chapters long, but it packs a lot of power. It's also a very radical book. And by radical, I mean just getting back to the roots of things. You know, oftentimes we have so domesticated the Bible, especially some of the epistles, that we don't let the radicality of what the Gospels and what the Bible is telling us actually sink in. But the book of Ephesians is a very radical book. I would encourage you all to read it. It doesn't take very long to read. Again, it's only 6 chapters, but it's a very powerful, radical little book. It is purportedly written by the Apostle Paul, though some scholars have questioned that. They believe that it was written perhaps by someone in the Pauline tradition, but I believe it was indeed written by Paul. But again, it's a book that is sometimes ignored, but one that needs to be read quite often, because it is a book with such power, especially the first chapter that we read this morning. That whole section in the Greek is actually one long sentence, but it's a very powerful sentence. And I like what Paul says there in verse 7, when he says that in him, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption. Redemption is one of those words that we use quite often in the church, at least in some quarters of the church. In fact, we just sang about it this morning in our hymn of meditation. We sang about there being a Redeemer, and we all know who that Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In him we have our redemption. But I learned what redemption means not from going to church, actually, but from collecting pop bottles as a child. Pop is what we call soda in Missouri. I don't know. But most of us perhaps remember when soda pop was sold in glass bottles. And people would do with those bottles what they do with plastic today. They would throw them away, throw them out, throw them in the streets or whatever after they consumed it. And so my friends and I, after school, while we were on our way to the boys' club, we would hunt for pop bottles. We would hunt in the alleyways. We would go into the trash bins. We would go in the open field, wherever we thought a pop bottle might be, and we would collect them. And then we would take them to the store, and the store would redeem them. They would usually buy them back from us, usually giving us like 3 cents or a nickel for every bottle. And that would allow us to be able to purchase a bag of popcorn or a candy bar when we got to the boys' club. But the store themselves would actually sell the bottles back to the bottling company, and there they would be cleaned up and reused again, reused in accordance to their original purpose. They would be redeemed. And now Paul says that we too have been redeemed. All of us who are here this morning have been redeemed. We have been called out of the alleyways. We have been called out of the trash bins, out of the deserted places of the world, and we have been redeemed and reclaimed and repurchased, if you will, through the suffering love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul wants us to know that not only have we been redeemed, not only are we being redeemed, but the whole world is being redeemed. Everything is being redeemed. That's what Paul says in verse 10 when he says, in the fullness of time, that God's plan for the fullness of time is to gather all things in the Lord Jesus Christ. All things in heaven, all things in earth, everything is to be gathered together and summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is redeeming everything through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we have this notion that God intends to throw the world away. And so our goal is to somehow make it to heaven when we die. But Paul reminds us here that God does not intend to throw the world away, but God plans to redeem the world, because everything has already been redeemed. Everything has already been reclaimed by God. God is in the business of redeeming and not throwing away. And so everything is being redeemed. Everything is being claimed by God. It's important to understand that in the book of Ephesians, redemption is actually about blessing. It's about God's commitment to bless humankind, about God's commitment to bless all of us, about God's commitment to bless the whole world. You know, we are people, as God's people, who have God's blessing all over us, the blessing of forgiveness. You know, we're once enemies of God. We were once sinners, but God has forgiven us. The blessing of God's spiritual gifts being lavished upon us, the kind of spiritual gifts that Paul talks about in the book of Galatians, the spiritual gifts of kindness, of gentleness, of patience, of joy, of peace. All of those are spiritual gifts that are lavished upon us as God's people. The blessing of of belonging to God, the blessings of being sons and daughters of God. We are reminded that we are sons and daughters of God, adopted sons and daughters of God. That was the original Israel vocation, remember? Israel was God's sons and daughters. They were God's elected people, God's chosen people, God's people who were chosen before the foundations of the world, God's preordained, predestined people. And now Paul wants us to understand that all of those who are in Christ are now God's chosen, elected, preordained people. And what we are chosen for, elected for, and preordained for is for a life of blessing. We are called to be people of blessing. To be redeemed, then, is to be called out of this world in which we live, this hate-filled world, this world that deals in death. We are called to be called out of this world so that we can live a life of blessing. That doesn't mean, of course, that we are perfect. Doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. We do make mistakes. We hurt one another sometimes. We hurt one another. We do things that are not always in accordance with the ways that God wants us to live. But the difference between us and the rest of the world is that even when we hurt one another, we recognize that to be a part of the redeemed is to never let our hurt and our brokenness have the last word. It is always to be open to forgive, open to acknowledge our mistakes, open to acknowledge that we belong to one another. That's what it means to be redeemed. You know, in the world when something happens, people don't care. In the world when we hurt each other, that we tend to do whatever we can to accentuate that hurt. In the world when something happens, we hold that hurt deep down inside of ourselves and we let it percolate and percolate, or we allow it to become a reason for us to become disengaged with one another, or we allow the things that we do to one another to become the basis for us to hurt someone else or to hurt the other person who has hurt us. That's what it means to be lost in our world. But to be redeemed is to be reminded that we are people of God, we are God's people, and that we no longer have to be subject to that kind of life. We can live as the redeemed people that God has called us to be, the forgiving people, the loving people, the gentle people, the patient people, the kind people, the people who are always ready and willing to open ourselves to one another, to admit the wrongs that we have done, and to forgive those who have hurt us. So to be redeemed is to acknowledge that we are a people who are called to be blessed. We are called to live differently than the world around us. But not only does redemption mean that we are called to live the life of the blessed, but redemption also means that we are called to be a blessing to others. We are called to participate in the redemption of others. That's what it means to be chosen. Paul reminds us that we are indeed chosen. And often when we think about being chosen, God's chosen people, we think about being chosen to receive blessings, to have blessings conferred upon us, to be the place where God pours God's blessings out upon us. But we're reminded too that to be chosen means that we are people who are called to bless others. I remember several years ago when We saw those towers come down in New York. Some people were chosen. There were some people who were trying to get away from those collapsing towers as quickly as they could. But there were other people who were chosen to be in the business of redeeming, of saving. And so while some people were running to get out of that building, other people were running to get in, the emergency personnel. They were running to get into that building so that they could redeem, so that they could save as many people as they could. And so to be chosen is not always to be blessed, but it means to be a blessing to others, to redeem others, to be actively involved in reclaiming others for God, for inviting others to participate in the life of Christ. I was thinking about all of this week, about what it means to be a redeemed people, a blessing people, people who are called to be a blessing to others. This week, as we were engaged in various things taking place here at Olney Presbyterian Church, we were quite busy this week. I was beat. You know, we did a lot of things in presbytery and a lot of things that were going on here, but what a wonderful blessing it was last week to be a blessing here in this community. You know, we had our movie night where we invited the community to come and watch a movie with us under the stars, and it was a wonderful time of fellowship, but it was also a time of sharing, a time of blessing this community and reclaiming this community, redeeming this community, being involved in the redemption of this community. We know that in the summertime when it gets hot, it's often the occasion for a lot of things to happen, a lot of tragic and bad things to happen. Sometimes most of the violence that happens in a community happens during these summer months when it's hot and people their patience runs thin, and all kinds of bad things happen, all kinds of tragic things. But this is an opportunity for us to be a blessing to the community, to begin to invite the community to come into this place where God's people are gathered, and to share a movie, to share a time of fellowship, to be engaged in a kind of giving back to this community and inviting them to see what it means to live and participate in God's people, to be a community of giving, a community of sharing, a community of blessing. And so I was happy about movie night. We had a pretty big turnout, at least a fairly substantial turnout of people, of neighbors in this community who came to be with us and to share in our blessing as God's people. And then, of course, we had our vacation Bible school. And it's always a joy to be a part of that. It's always a real blessing to be able to teach young people what it means to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and to teach them something about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of those young people are people that we have established relationships with through the last few years. And to see them here coming into the church was truly a blessing and joy. Some of those children do not go to church. They have no other contact with church. Some of them go to a school that is a religious, a themed school, but they don't go to church. And so coming here in this place is where they will have an opportunity to engage in this blessed community here and to be blessed by this blessed community here. It was funny because some of the children thought that the people who volunteer here do what they do because they are paid to do it. That's important because this, you know, most of the people that they engage in, there's some, you know, some ulterior motive. You're doing what you're doing to get paid. What are you getting out of it? Why are you taking time to be with us here? Why are you taking time to teach us? Why are you taking time to engage us one-on-one? You must be getting something out of it. It must be because you're getting paid. And I'm the only one getting paid for it. But everyone else does what they do here. We all do what we do here because we realize that we've been blessed. We realize that we've been redeemed, that we have been redeemed by God, that we too should be people who are lost, people who are thrown away, people in the back alleys and in the trash bins, that we are people who were sinners, but we've been redeemed, we've been blessed, and because we've been redeemed, then we have the opportunity to be about the business of redeeming others, of reclaiming others, of sharing our love and joy and peace with others, of being a blessing to others. And that's what we had the opportunity to do this week with those young children, to begin to mold their young minds and redeem them, redeem their ways of thinking, inviting them to participate in God's people. Redemption. Being redeemed. We're reminded this morning that only Jesus redeems. Only Jesus can redeem us. Don't be fooled by all of those other offers of redemption out there in the world. They cannot redeem us. Only Jesus can redeem us. The worship of money cannot redeem us. Racism cannot redeem us. Having the right person on the Supreme Court cannot redeem us. Only Jesus can redeem us. It's only in Jesus that we have our redemption. And that's what you and I, as the people of God, are called to proclaim in the midst of our world, that in Him we have our redemption. Jesus Christ is our redemption. Indeed, God is already redeeming the whole world, everything in heaven and in earth. Everything is already being redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our vocation is to proclaim that, to proclaim that Jesus Christ is our redemption, that through Him we are already being redeemed. You're being redeemed because He loves us. We're being redeemed because He cares for us. And we are the people to show what that redemption looks like by the way we live our lives. If people come into our midst and they see the same thing that's taking place out in the world, and they're going to say, those people aren't redeemed. If people come in here and they see that we too are filled with, you know, anger and, you know, unforgiveness and are quick to disengage from one another, they're not going to see the message of redemption. They're not going to see what it means to be redeemed. They will only get that message when they come into a place like this and they see that the walls, the dividing walls that divide us, have come down, and that we live as God's redeemed people, loving one another, embracing one another, forgiving one another, being God's redeemed people. It's only then they will come to understand what redemption is all about, what blessing is all about. And when they see that, they may very well want to be a part of this kind of community, a community of God's people, a community where we are truly living the blessed life. So I would encourage you this morning to live as God's blessed people, to proclaim the good news of our redemption, the redemption that has already been wrought through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to live a life of love and forgiveness and kindness and patience and gentleness and joy and peace. To live that life among ourselves and extend that life to those who God has called us to serve. So we too can be involved in the active redemption of our world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your presence in our midst. We give you thanks for your Holy Spirit that has sealed us as your people. We ask that you continue to blow your Spirit through our midst so that we might live as your redeemed people in the midst of our world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.